Well, my body's sore. But
check, one, two, one.
Doesn't count.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another episode of
True
Bobcast. That's right.
Springtime.
There is no season five, but you know, when we get together, we call it True Bobcast.
That is true. I think I asked you that.
It is true.
Last one.
You know, I remember there was a period of time where I was like straight up about to change the show, the domain. Remember, I was like, I got truebobcast.com. Should I hit it? Remember that?
We should have. You should have just doubled down.
I know. But this occurred at the same time era when
diversification.
B.O.B., the rapper, started the Bobcast, and then I was in a war with him.
I know there's more to that story. You've told a little bit about it.
Okay,
I've learned more about it over the years.
The story is that during the pandemic, the rapper B.O.B., you know, he also, the fact that I remember when the rapper B.O.B. came out and had like a hit song, like I remember Facebook Messenger blowing up and
paper planes.
People being like, there's another B.O.B. You know, it's like, thank you.
The planes, right?
Hmm?
The plane song, right? Highlight planes.
Something like that was the
we
big
could be
one.
Airplanes in the night sky.
Yeah. And like the thing is that
like pooping stars.
Yes. Man, I've heard that in a long time. But yeah, like B.O.B. is just a song. It's registered, but like B.O.B., a character name, was not mine. You know what I mean? Mm. So I couldn't do anything about that. But then fast forward years later, and then B.O.B., the rapper, decides to start a show called The Bobcast.
Oof.
And
you think there'd be more already, but.
True.
True.
True. But so there was quite a few, right? And that was one of the errors of my blunder. Like I tell people all the time, if you're interested in starting a podcast and you're actually interested in doing it for a living, you need to do two things. You need to do them simultaneously, like a tandem jump. One, get the domain name that you want, but cross-reference it with a trademark. Trademark allows you to sell things and make money off it. And you're like able to sue people if somebody takes your trademark and then make more money. But like, regardless, when the two are the same, which is so hard to do these days, if you have an idea for like a podcast title, go on GoDaddy.com, type it in. Some of those domain names can run you a couple hundred grand, you know what I mean? Or they could be like for $4. It's
yeah,
wild.
And for the scumbags listening, if you get a great idea, just buy them all up so other people can't use it until they buy it off you years down the pike.
Stamps.com.
It used to do that. Remember Pepsi sold for like $1 million, Pepsi.com.
I remember like 20 years ago, somebody bought like Pepsi had like this like, some sort of like a spinoff, I forget, Pepsi Turbo something, but a comedian had bought that and started like advertising his jokes on that webpage and became famous from it. But that was like back in the early wild, wild west days of the internet when
it's getting
you
even
could get away with
now.
Stuff. Now it's just totally different. The scene's changed so much, but I mean, I guess all the pillars are still there, like as far as like what MySpace represented, you know what I mean?
But is there, in my heart, there's a tipping point where mm-hmm. the screens can't be trusted. And collectively, we'll all just be like, all right, the screens can't be trusted.
I mean,
it was good for a little while.
Happening? I mean,
yeah,
like,
but not in the supermarket. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I got you on that one.
The screen is dominant,
well,
dude.
Eventually,
not in
the supermarket will change. I still can't believe that they have the cart feature. Like, there is that thing now where you could, I think Seattle first started, where you walk in, fill your grocery cart up. It's an Amazon store, I believe, and you just walk out and it censors everything in your cart and then automatically deducts from your debit.
That makes me uneasy.
I know, right? Like,
I don't like that.
Well, you know, some people, it's no big thing. So for some people who are making so much money, they probably don't even care if they're not getting the full, like, you know, if they're getting charged more or whatever. But that's the one thing about today. It seems with all this trickery, I mean, for the fact, dude, like you and I grew up in this era
in
where technology was hard to do. Like, you could tell your 15-year-old self that you'd be out here with me podcasting in the woods with wireless microphones that will be able to transmit to people on all seven continents.
Science fiction.
It's wild, right? But it's also like, this is what
science
I've been thinking about lately. It's like,
now
I'm going to be going out to a couple stand-up comedy places in the next couple of months because I've come up with an act, and it's an act that I never thought that I would ever see myself in. But, like, are you familiar with the term crema dungeon?
Probably saying it wrong, TJ.
Yeah, yeah. Curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Like, I like the way, say the way I say
curmudgeon.
It. Curmudgeon. I never like thought Josh I'd, you know, really I'm turning into it, man, because, like, here's the thing about our generation. If you're 44, you could be on stage whatever you want, dude. You could be my guy that's doing the pictograms, whatever. But the weird thing is like, my dad's generation, right? So our fathers, they're in their 70s,
is this
right?
The act?
No, no, no. It's not the act, but, like, the thing that I realized more now than ever is that, you know, I'm 44 years old. And, like, we're the first generation ever to grow up with almost like a whole new system of rules, a whole new set of rules for both society, banking, and everything. We didn't get a chance to graduate from high school and live not even 10 years before the entire social system was changed. And I'm mad about that shit, dude.
Woo!
I'm pissed Tell off them. About it, dude. Like, let's go Tell back them, into Steve, the Dave. 90s, dude. Like, when it was like, all right, mom and dad, I'm going out with my buddy Drew. We're just going to the Plymouth Meeting Mall. Nah. We're on 76 East, and we're on our way down to the city to go to club, what was it called? Chemistry?
You know? Yeah. Delaware Avenue.
Take some
Avenue.
Magical mushrooms. Nobody knows where you're at. Bang. You know what I mean? Good times. Now, you can't do anything like that. You can't. I mean, my wife knows where I'm at all the time. I know where she's at all the time. Everybody knows what you're thinking, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're listening in you're on exposed. Us right now as we podcast in the woods and trying to, like, you know, pour our hearts out here to explain just how difficult it is to navigate that sometimes, dude. And, like, nobody gives praise up to for those in our generation to deal with these things. How do you feel about that?
I wholeheartedly agree. And I try not to put myself in those positions. I turn off every tracking device. I don't post on social media. I take myself out of the equation, so to speak. But I tell you what, I don't think it's working in my favor on the dating apps because they don't know if I'm just like a virus.
I've never been on a dating app.
A consumer. Like, I'm off now.
Extreme anxiety. Just being like, you know, like being a young person and like having like.
I feel like a digital reject when I'm on the line.
The rejection thing. So like
I feel like the computers reject me.
Are you aware when like a potential partner dismisses?
What is that? Whoa.
Like, I don't know anything about like
inflammatory.
The apps, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah, no, it's all
because somebody swipes left, that means they don't like you.
Yeah, they don't tell you. You. No, okay. They don't call you a loser. That could be a good
a
app,
feature?
Though.
Is that a feature?
It could be an app for the people that like to be humiliated.
Should we call it Humili?
Humilio.
Humilio. Dude, is there a portion of the population that enjoys being humiliated?
Yes, there is. There
What's,
truly is.
Oh, yes, it is. And yeah, also yeah, in the yeah. sexual fantasy world. What's
yeah,
that called?
Yeah. Cuckold? Yeah. Dom. Sub. Okay. Dominator. Submissive.
You learn a lot when you listen to the True Bobcast. I don't even want to talk about True Detective, but I mean, we never got a chance to come back and say it is coming back for another season, which means it will be back for another season.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually looking forward to it because I never thought I'd be saying this, but the podcasts, you remember back in the day with the TV guide, Cheers and Jeers? Well, we cheers for so long. Now we're in the jeers.
Oh, we're jeers in next year.
Do you remember that back in the day?
Yeah. Well, kind of now that you mention it,
in
but
the
I don't
TV
think
guide,
about it too
it
often.
It said cheers and jeers. And it was like, this is what's good. This is what's not good. You remember that, ma'am? Do you remember the TV guide? No.
Gotcha. Okay. Moment here on the.
Dude, I've been striking out with strangers. Like, you know, I used to like record people.
Yeah.
There's a cut. Like, I tell the audience all the time. Sometimes.
Imagine if you could wet measure that.
There's so many episodes in this voice memo thing where, like, some of them just never get recorded posted, just because I don't know. Like, I can re-edit sometimes my thoughts, but this one time I'm walking. You know that field all the way back over there where there's seemingly no
the
trees?
Knoll, Area 59.
I was in a great mood. And I was talking about something, you know, and some girl, like, she had, like, all the signs that, you know, she would, like, be somebody who would be a great guest. And, like, I was like, I can't remember what I said to her, but I asked her a question. And,
I got
like,
some candy.
Oh, dude, I came off so creepy. Like, I could, I felt her being creeped out. And then, like,
mechanism.
But then I'm also, like, thinking about, like, the landscape and how it looks with me, like, in the field, you
so
know?
I was wondering.
Yeah, so
you
seven.
Want some
you know?
Hard candy.
Oh, yeah.
Ever see that movie?
Well, I don't know what you're referencing there.
Hard Candy. It was with Ellen Page.
Here, take it away, boss. I gotta go relieve myself.
Well, that was a little TMI for the True Bobcast. But I just want to give a shout out to everybody in this True Bobcast spring season to take some time to schedule yourself some social fun, you know, some mingling, if you will. Some time for yourself with others. Or if you're too busy doing that, you know, schedule some downtime for yourself to just kick back, spring clean, rearrange your apartment, or, you know, anything to just shift your perspective. You know, because too often we get caught in these loops, and too often we forget to take care of ourselves or give ourselves a break. And I'm in the midst of doing that myself, and it's great. Not to brag, but, you know.
You mean you're off this week is what you're telling me.
I am off this week. That is true. I did rearrange my loft area, bro. I sent you the pic, I think.
Yeah.
Whew. I stood back. It was like I built a fence around my yard. I looked at it. You know what I mean? I did that suburban Don Draper 1950s stand back. Like you did the lawn, you know?
Yeah, recently I cleared out a closet and made it into my secret room that I hide in. It sounds weird, but yeah. I got to hide. When I was a kid, I had a bat cave in my parents' house. And I used to force my brother in there and we'd be Batman and Robin. But yeah, something about like, rearranging stuff. It feels good. Especially, you could do it in your house. You could also do it in your life by moving things around.
Oh, yeah, dude, speaking of, check this out. You sparked the memory. And I got to give shout-outs to Lieutenant Larry Thomas Moore of the Alabama region and of this young upbringing. Because listen, Tom, if you're out there, look, I talk about you all the time in my life, and I don't know if you know this or not, but there's always a better way to do something. There's always a way to improve everything you do. And you know how I learned that, Tom? I learned it by watching you, okay? Watching you beat those guys in Super Punch-Out on the Super Nintendo on Senior Week down in Ocean City, New Jersey, and you shaved milliseconds off of knocking Glass Joe to the mat. I'm telling you, you took it from 8 seconds to 7.5 seconds to 7 seconds to 6.9 seconds, 6.8 seconds, 6.7, and it didn't stop, dude. We sat there for like 2 hours. And at that moment, I knew that you can always improve upon something, and I'll never forget it. So, thank you, sir.
Yeah, you know, he was really good at that stuff. I shouldn't say, like, he's dead. He's still alive down there. But he's dead to me as far as Downtown Harvest, because I need you back, buddy. What are you doing? Anyway, yeah, he taught me how to unclog my drains with just a couple wet socks.
Nice.
Yeah, and, like, you know, he's like, got to keep at it, Bobby. Keep at it. He was always due diligent. And, you know, despite the fact that we were in a rock and roll band, the dude was always on time. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, he was always on time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, his code was...
oh, God, yeah, really confusing.
His
code... You on?
Yeah, I'm green. Yeah, yeah. His code was something to behold.
His Amerta.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
His code.
I got regiments.
Man. His ethos. It's like, yeah, but dude, you just, you know, XYZ'd all over your ABC.
Were you out there when I got...
Like, wow, it's DRX.
In the beginning of Downtown Harvest when we were out in L.A., I don't think you were there, but we got invited to the Valley. Did I ever introduce you to Dez Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Was that the guy with the hairdryer?
Yes.
Under the...
Okay, so my friend Dez Ryan Stewart, he was an actor. He was on Major Dad. And then I met him when he was like 40. And like, he was still acting in LA, but like, the dude was just a character. And it's a shame that so many people, like, you know, they're seen at an early age, but that, you know, being like a child star or whatever. But this dude just had personality. And then he started a reality TV show called The Studio, and they invited Downtown Harvest over, and basically it was like a really interesting idea. It would probably pop in 2020, but it didn't make no sense
back in the day.
2004 or 2005, we get invited to the Valley, right? North Hollywood.
Oh yeah,
we go into this studio that's like, you know,
anything goes in the Valley.
Large studio, multiple musicians in there, and then we wrote and recorded a song in one night, and it was a song that I actually wrote on guitar called The XYZ Affair.
Is it on an album? Did it make the cut?
It did. Yeah. It made the show and they were going to get it picked up. But like, basically what that was like kind of like what people are doing now, like on like, you know, live, like when they make loops or like,
yeah, rock, yeah, relay, yeah. You know, it's reduced to a 15 second sound.
But yeah, Dez was ahead of his time. I think he's, he came on my podcast. Maybe he's on the podcast. I don't know. But at one point we were actually going to do a podcast during the pandemic about like being in, look at the water, dude.
Raging.
being an expert in your area of expertise, and it was called something about dragon. I can't
carnal
remember.
Knowledge.
Something about dragons.
Chase the dragon.
But yeah, dude, you know, it's wild. It's like we were there in LA right before the emergence of like Skynet. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, we were there. Yeah. We were out there when like
we put LA to bed.
We were there when the cell phone. You could hear the cell phone ringing in your speakers before your cell phone actually rang.
The start of the text.
You remember that noise?
No.
Okay, so back in the day, if you had a cell phone and you had a computer with monitors,
you could hear the phone calling
before it actually did. I know that's hard to comprehend, but I also remember, and I've spoken about this as most recently as last episode, Downtown Harvest shaming me because I was one of the first people to start text messaging.
Yeah, I think I listened to that. I was on the dysfunctional, like, the dystopian.
What are you, texting? Dude, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, it's a way to get your thoughts out, and it's written down, and it's, like, on paper but digitally. And they're like, whatever.
I remember trying to text from, like, the mountaintops in Colorado back in 2002.
Like Tommy or Chris Farley in that movie Black Sheep?
No, I, like, felt it. I don't know. But I, like, felt it go off into the night. I'm like, well, little puppy, I hope this reaches the destination. I had no clue about what a text message was. I found the feature, like, buried in my Samsung, you know, LCD first color flip phone.
I'm going
in the river today, Bobby.
He's got the duck boots. We should talk about your duck boots.
These duck boots were a gift to me by the, I don't know, the facilities man at Party Pro Rentals in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. For all your party needs, bouncy castles, photo booths, you name it, they got it. Casino nights, service, fun.
So it must have rained, dude.
Party Pro, one of their handyman, gave me these boots to do some grout work that day. And, yeah, they're pretty Kanye, you know, they look like Kanye's boots from back in the day where they are seamless and they were rubber and they were tall. And I wore them today.
What were the name of those boots and why did they never like get produced like the Yeezy pods?
Good question. He was in the exiling. I think Gap was trying to make them. And then
who
they
made
got
those
canceled.
Dark Knight boots?
I can't hear you up there.
Who made those Dark Knight boots?
Well, all the high fashion brands eventually did. Balenciaga. There's this like motorsport company. They did the bikes and stuff. A bunch of people hopped on the trend, and then Kanye just stopped wearing shoes altogether and walked around in socks. And they, you know, lost popularity.
Yeah, this shoes look like very heavy. The Dark Knight boots.
Oh yeah, they do. These aren't. These are just like the one ply version.
I gotta hold my breath. I got the hiccups. Here we go. One. Two.
So in case you're wondering, people out there, Dez Bryant looks exactly like a early 2000 guy named Dez Bryant would. You know what I mean? Just a total character. You could probably guess his name if you saw him for the first time. Oh, hey, aren't you Dez Bryant? Your friend Dez, who we're talking about.
What does he look like?
He looks like Dez. He looks like a guy named Dez.
Yeah, he definitely has a unique look. He also looks like Guy Pearce, you know the actor?
True that.
Memento. I have to write that down.
Look at this little chest piece.
Yeah, there's a lot of water down here. We got raging waters. So, there's this thing that happened to me recently, right? Oh, I got the hiccups. Real-time podcasting. Real talk. Real trash talk.
Perfect live. Take it away. Real trash. Real trap shit. I don't know if Bob and I talked about this. A comedian named Casey Rocket on the Bobcast. But if you're listening, you got to check this guy, Casey Rocket, out. If you appreciate even a sliver of our sense of humor and our timing and our ADD-addled, you know, catchphrase riffs, Casey Rocket's right up your alley, man. This guy he's a treasure. He's a young, up-and-coming comedian, Casey Rocket. He's a total treasure, man. That's all I got to say about that.
Is there any comedy style that you can compare it to?
Yeah, I mean... yeah, a little bit, you know, but it's like if Mitch Hedberg, you know what I mean, was on, you know, Speed, or like if, Bobcat Goldthwait was like less.
Oh yeah, Bobcat.
Out of his mind, you know what I mean? Like less of a
I
character.
I love Bobcat. You know?
Oh, Bobcat was great. But
Sam Kinison kind of like with that, you know, scream.
Oh,
but
Sam Kinison was legit, dude.
Casey
was
though,
so
legit, like he has his own style of punchlines, you know, like.
Yeah, he's a character of like an average guy.
Yeah.
He's not a character. You know what I mean?
He did a new minute on Kill Tony. Kill Tony is it's a live open mic show that happens in Austin, Texas every week. And Casey opens the show with a new minute. It's funny, dude. check them out.
You know, in the day-to-day world of our lives, you know, we talk, you talk to a lot of people, do you?
Yeah.
So I've developed a kind of, yeah, was there something behind
us? Somebody was walking right behind us, dude.
Sounded like a dog tag. But there's like an art of conversation. My father and I were talking about it. And the conversations I have with my dad, like, don't even compare to conversations I have with anyone else. No disrespect to everyone else, but like, I'm his son. He probably understands where I'm coming from a lot better. And, you know, it's just the word choices, the questions, the timing, the pauses, the breaks, the art of conversation. It's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, we podcast and we listen to these other podcasts, but you ever just like sit back and think to yourself, like, I could talk to that guy.
Yeah. You know, that's the amazing thing. Like in the beginning of the podcast, I would reach out to these. Like, I never thought I'd talk to Jack White's drummer, you know, like,
I could talk to that guy. I could talk to that guy.
I think that anybody can talk to anybody. And the idea that you can't attain something, somebody's over you. It's old. It's an old idea for me that I just struggle with.
Dude, I love talking to people so much. Dude, I love asking questions. The older I get, the more I like listening, you know.
That was right?
Problem in my life, not listening. But now I'm older, man. It's just so much, so great. It's so like rewarding to listen to people and hear their stories. The recollection isn't the easiest part, but you know what
resonates? You find that you learn more when you listen?
Of course, man. Of course.
I mean, to people's stories.
Yeah, dude. You learn about who they are, what they've been through. It gives you perspective, always important, as I mentioned earlier. And it's just great, man. It's great to like let people express themselves. And if you're a person who's like a genuine, authentic kind of guy, that's going to help other people become genuine and authentic, you know, just sharing it out and having that conversation.
True, yeah.
But there's a dark side. People get a little jealous. They get a little uptight about, you know what I mean? That nature. It's the world we live in, man. And it's like a navigational thing we all deal with.
So this thing that we haven't had a chance to talk about, like post Easter, like I was curious, like, what's going on with your church?
The Kunjahakan Vineyard Church has been exiled from its location over at the Four Fall Building in West Kunjahakan. That's just a little dramatic. The lease was up for the people who were renting us the spot or something, or they went out of business or something, so we had to find a new location. We've been grateful to share Kunjahakan Hotel West in Maine for this week, last week, couple weeks, and the Upper Marion Baptist Church out on Route 23. Our pastor, Rich Andrews, is currently looking to obtain a lease, and he's making great process and headway, and we're looking to sign, looking to move. We're looking to reboot the church for a September relaunch to celebrate and coincide with the 10-year anniversary of the Kunjahakan Vineyard Church.
So tell everybody, like, like what happened when like you just had to leave?
Yeah, they told us that we can no longer, you know, use the space. So we went back the following week to hold our service, and security met us and, you know, basically told us we can't go. So we had to remove all our equipment. We packed up the U-Hauls that day. Church was obviously canceled. And
security met you at the door?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. But it was just the first guy who showed up.
Wow.
And then subsequently, the rest of us. Not that we figured, but we had just planned on having church service that day, regardless of what happened. But then once everything did happen, we just dealt with it. We kind of knew it was a possibility. I don't want to make it more than it is, but it's great to be a part and see that faith in action and see people react to it. And it's crazy to see a lot of people I know react to the news with like such sadness or like, you know, sorrow or like compassion for what we were going through, while the church itself was just like, all right.
You're invigorated.
Let's go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were energized. And we still are. But I'll tell you one thing, Bobby O.
Yeah.
It's challenging, man. This whole year has been so challenging, dude. So many challenges.
Why?
Just dealing with real life.
All right. Yeah.
You know? Last year was a really easy year for me, and I don't know what changed other than the...
Could it be that we're getting closer towards the second coming? I saw this crazy thing.
I mean, technically, we always are.
I mean, yeah, we've been for 2,000 years, but I saw this thing. Scientists can't understand why the moon is starting
to
rust. Scientists hate this guy. Putin can't triangulate his position.
The moon's starting to rust?
The moon's starting to turn to a blood-ish red.
Oh, you got to get some armor all up there.
And apparently that's all over, old and new, as signs of the second coming.
Ah, I think I know what you're talking about.
But, you know, let's talk about the second coming, okay? Because I found this verse that I like. Because it's got this, like, tagline to it that just... I could be my first tattoo, man. Like, I was just thinking, like... Because I like it so much. Because it just feels, like, more or less like me, I guess. But let me find it so I could do it properly now. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. I ain't got no Young Jamie.
What show is he from? Rogan?
Yeah. But do you remember Young Jamie from Country?
I know a couple guys named Jamie from Country.
He used to hang out with Alyosha Haynes.
I don't want to say last names, but he was up the way.
Yeah, we called
him... Cross from Cowell?
Yeah, we called him...
Little dirt biker?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine being called Young Jamie your whole life, and then there's this new guy.
Imagine my surprise when Mickey Avalon popped in Hollywood.
Yeah, right. Where is it?
Should I walk through this puddle?
Yeah, you should show everybody.
It looks a little dangerous, though.
On an audio-only podcast that you're walking through the puddle.
I don't want to get sucked up in no quicksand. You know what I'm sick of? Everyone's saying, oh, I thought quicksand was going to be a bigger problem when I grew up.
What do you mean by that?
You never heard this joke?
No.
How when we were young, like, quicksand was always the biggest, like, threat in movies, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's quicksand.
But then all the comedians were like, yeah, I thought, you know, quicksand was going to be a bigger problem for me when I was adult.
All right, this is Revelations.
Hacky.
Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I love that, dude. Even so, comma, amen.
Mm.
One, it's got so many implications to it, right? Even so, amen. You know what I mean? Like, what do you feel when you hear that?
The entirety of the scripture? Where is it from? Revelations?
Yeah.
Which book?
Book one.
And what verse? Let me see it. Can I see it?
Verse 7, yeah.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
Even so, amen. I love that.
Wow, yeah, that's like... kind of like... you said you want to get that a tattoo?
Yeah, somewhere like on the... Just even so, comma, amen.
That's kind of like, dude, that's like what we've been talking about all day, dude.
What's that?
Everything on the bench, everything, you know, like, even so, amen, dude.
I know. Just like giving it, you know, just whatever. Amen, you know?
And look.
I'll praise when I want to. I'll praise when I'm sure.
I'll
praise when I'm down.
Listen, I told you I really wanted to talk to you, and there's a lot of off-air stuff we do have to talk about.
Yes.
Well,
let me tell you this quick story before we call it quits for today.
No. I wanted to launch into something on my own here.
Oh, okay.
That I do want to
work on them segues because it sounded like you wanted to end it.
I know. I'm a Pollock. What are you going to do?
Oh.
All right. So I started skateboarding back in November again.
Okay.
I found this skate shop in Yardley, Pennsylvania named Dogwood Skate Shop. And I thought it was just like an old house. You know, I saw a skate shop sign out front. I'm like, that's got to just be like a relic from the past. So I forget if I mentioned I've been skating. Anyway, the owner...
I saw a video. You're looking good.
The owner told me about a skate park down the way, about a mile away. And I went and I took one look at the skate park and knew that I would have to get back on a board at age 43. Because it was just beautiful. It was everything I dreamed of as a kid.
I've been to that park. I've seen it before.
Yeah, it's legit. And so, you know, I went on a hunt for
skateboarding.
Huh?
You were good back in the day.
Thanks, man. I like to believe I just had a nice little style.
You were skating in L.A. too, I remember.
Yeah, I had some fun out there.
Remember the front grind?
Yeah. And this hill is looking daunting. And so, like, the last skateboard I had, or one of the last skateboards I had, was a Jamie Thomas Zero. Jamie Thomas was a pro skater. He had a big cross on his board, and this was 2003. I bought it. It had John 3:16 written underneath of it.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's hanging on my wall, and I come across a board to match my car. It's all white, Jamie Thomas, 2023 edition, limited edition, 150 made, blah, 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 no big deal. So I got the white board, got the white grip, got the white wheels, got the white trucks, got the white bearings, got the white bushings, got the everything white, like my car, you know? So I had this vision of cruising up to the skate park in my white Mustang, hopping out dressed in all white, skating on this white board, and just letting the Holy Spirit work, right? 7 months later, you know, I developed a couple great relationships, landed my first 360 flip 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
second one a week ago, Good Friday style, and there's nothing better skating than re-landing your 360 awesome. Flips, man. Tray flips are the most fun trick, coolest, baddest looking thing you can do, you know what I mean, as an amateur. Anyway.
Remind me again, what's that look like? Is it when you kick off the back and then the board flips?
It's when the board rotates 360 degrees and does one flip in the process.
Yeah. H43, right?
Yep.
Man, I forget that you're a year younger than me sometimes.
Well, no, I'm 8 months.
You're born in the month of October, which is
1980.
I would change my birthday to the month of October. It's my favorite month. I love it.
And we have the same birth day. 12480 for you and 102480 for me. Value.
So the Holy Spirit on a skateboard sounds like ideal.
Yeah, I got my cross. I'm showing it to people. I'm not wearing a sign that says the end of design. I'm not telling everyone to repent, but I'm opening the conversation, you know, with my attire and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just skating, right? I had an interaction with the owner of the skate shop on what I thought what might be one of my last days in Yardley, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And not to get...
What type of altercation are we talking about?
No, a conversation.
Okay. Excuse me.
Where I was going in there to just thank him for introducing me to the skate park, telling my story about the tray flips and whatnot. And just to let him know that I might not be back because my job is kind of wrapping up out there. We're going to be somewhere new soon. And just wanted to thank him, you know? Thanks, man. And I could clearly tell it meant a lot to the guy. And we started having this really deep faith talk. And we started praying together. And just seeing that, you know what I mean? That's God's time right there. You know, I expected to get out on day one and have everybody be like, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
But I didn't, you know, get upset about it. I didn't get anxious about it, but then to finally see the Holy Spirit work in that way, to be able to just
See that he was moved by it too?
Yeah, to see like an exhortation, which is
I know what you mean.
Telling people that you're grateful for them, that you're thankful for them, making them feel good for who they are and what they do. Like, that's exhortation. That's a form of healing. And I'm not a big, like, healer, you know, as far as I could tell, but that felt so powerful. It's like the words coming out of my mouth weren't even mine. We just started praying.
How the conversation felt like it was lifted then, right?
Yeah, it felt like a beautiful...
Yeah, I know what you mean. So it's funny you say that because I did the same thing. So my story is like this. Monday comes. And I was telling Mickey before the podcast, I got this like stress at work that's just been... It's been taking me down and I'm not used to that, you know? Like, I'm not used to being so vulnerable. I'm not used to... I don't know. Like, I don't like making mistakes, dude, you know? Something broke and, like, everyone's pointing the finger at me and I told them straight up, look, this is out of my element. This is software. Nobody believed me. Today, I was vindicated and they were told, yeah, it's software. But, like, you know, those interim periods where you're not justified, you know? I go from being a hero to, you know, a villain. Sometimes in the course of only 60 minutes, but I mean, I start to think about, you know, Jesus coming into town, being welcomed, Hosanna, Hosanna. Meanwhile, the whole time he knows these people are going to be throwing rocks at him in like a couple days, you know, and like how he did it with grace, you know, he didn't roll in on the donkey looking like me with a puss on his face. And that's something I got to like figure out, like, you know, at work. And to be honest, you guys know the listeners, I'm not on, you know, the SSRIs no more. And it's like hard to, I don't know, like those types of drugs are really good at being like, nah, you're not getting in his cage. You know, he's going to just be alone with his thoughts. And, you know, I'm not on them right now. So, yeah, stuff has been bothering me. But, like, I'm super stressed out. I didn't get out of work Monday night till late, like 7:45-ish, you know. So I go to the mall. Nothing's open, you know. So I get some food. And I sit down at the food court there. Nobody's there. And I'm like, oh, this is so peaceful. Thank God. I need this moment to eat my noodles, you know? Mm. And like, I'm listening to, I forget, just trying to watch them just cool down, right? And I got my headphones in and I see somebody to the left of me, this nighttime custodian. And I see him like pointing at me and like, I'm just eating my meal. And I'm like, maybe he's not talking to me. Sorry, I got the hiccups. Dude, I drank too much coffee. So he walks over to the table and he's like, excuse me, sir, but this section's closed right now. And I've had a bad day. And I say to him, I'm sorry that it's closed, but may I please just finish my meal? I'll clean up after myself, and I'll leave the place just as I found it. And he's like, you don't understand. And I had my headphones in. He wouldn't, like, he wouldn't, I don't know. He was, like, mad. He's like, you don't understand. You can't hear what I'm saying. And I just looked at him with the, you know, the eyes. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, I've had a day, you know, and I just need to sit here and I need to just eat this meal. Can you understand that? If somebody comes and they kick me out, so be it. But right now, I just need to have this meal to myself. Stress has been getting to me, sir, please. And he looks at me and he goes, all right, son, right? He kind of like pats me on the back or whatever, you know?
Nice.
And I got emotional afterwards just because the way he looked at me, it was like he saw it, you know? He beforehand, he said to me, he was like, my staff's been here since 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I've been at work, sir, since 8. You know, like I worked a double. I just need this meal. And he saw it. He saw me, you know? And, you know, the way that I approached him, though, when I was talking about eating that meal, my voice didn't sound like my voice at all. It felt like something else had taken a hold of me. And, like, I met with my pastor not too long ago, and she said to me one of the things that Jesus did was, you know, he stood up for himself and he stood up for others.
Mm.
And he also, like, challenged the status quo, you know, about how things are looked at and perceived. And he came and made about changes that people were not comfortable with, you know?
Amen.
And that's hard for people to understand. They don't really see it like that. They see it like he tried to come in and like conquer people or take over, like, you know, as the new Messiah for the Jewish people who wanted someone to herald them against the, you know, tyranny of the Roman Empire at the time. And that wasn't his vibe at all. It was all just about peace and love and then allowing somebody to enjoy a meal. So I thought about this man. I got in the car. It's pouring rain. You guys know it's been raining forever. Couldn't wait to get out here today. And, you know, I was in the car and it's raining and I'm just still emotional from all the stress. And like, I heard like just, you know, something. And like, I just said it out loud. I was like, you know, it felt like somebody was with me, you know? And like I said, was that you, Jesus? And like, oh, man, I felt supernatural in my car, you know, like I felt consumed with Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, but it was all around me. And I went to work the next day. As soon as I got done, I went right back to the Plymouth Meeting Mall. And I found him and I said, thank you so much, you know? And like, you know, he gave me like, you know, fist pump, you know? And like, it was just, you know, it's like, that's the same thing that happened with you and that guy at that skate shop.
Amen,
you know,
brother.
Like, that understanding and then like, you know, like, it's just so hard, like the real world. And
that
it's
evidence,
like,
man.
Yeah, and it's like when those moments happen and like, you're just like so humbled by it and it's like, you know, I mean, like just the other day I was asking a friend to, you know, we always ask like, how can we pray for you? And like, I told him about a conflict that I've been going through and like somebody reached out to me today involved with that conflict. And it's just wild, you know, like Holy Spirit moves so quickly that sometimes you may not even be able to see it. You know what I mean? Because you're so busy dealing with the fallout of like what you think you may have or what you may not have, you know?
Amen.
And the feeling of like, you know what I mean? Seeing somebody, but then also too, like, you know, I was in this play, right? And like, I think I chatted about it before, but like, you know, I had a really good time with it. But one of the things that, you know, came out of it too, which was, you know, one, yeah, a love of acting and wanting to pursue more down the road. But like, for a good month there, Peter Chapin, who was playing Jesus, like, I was in total, like, I was in character, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was like,
friends. Is this what you were telling me about earlier?
Yeah, like, I felt like I was like friends with Jesus. You know what I mean? And like, I was really getting into the role. Like, I know I'm friends with him technically, but you know what I mean? Like, I knew the guy. And like, we would meet up together and rehearse. And, you know, like, after the play, in the days after, like, you know what I mean? Like, when you do something like that and you're really doing it for God and like to celebrate Christ and the Holy Spirit, like, you get residuals from that, you know?
You see the evidence, man.
Oh my God. And then like I've been struggling with the fact that I'm living in that world, but then also being in such a negative work aspect, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm trying to figure it out. So hey, if you are somebody who does believe, pray that Bobby Cahill can find peace, because I need a change, dude. You know what I mean? I need a change in my life. And the one thing that's always been constant, though, is God, dude, and Jesus. Like, the thing that's wild is, like, all the times I've been mad at people in the church, or been mad at somebody about their different ideology and how it don't match mine, he ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, dude.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And, like, I used to, like, suffer under that duress a lot, and, like, I'm saying it verbally out loud, so that way I come into some sort of contract with myself to not allow myself to peter off into that fucking darkness again, because... And when you go through that stuff, you blame Jesus. Like, why am I blaming? This dude sacrifices his life.
Right.
Knows he's going to die. And I'm mad. You know, like.
And it's like, yeah, I'm not sitting there at the skate park screaming repent, but that's what repent is, man.
Yep.
Like, when you're mad at somebody, like, turn from that. That's all repenting is. It's turning your direction. You know, it's not like becoming a perfect person. It's just turning away from that which is hurting people. You know, these judgments or these observations or whatever they are, this hatred, like, just turn away from that. And then the more you do that, the more disciplined you become. And you can't do it alone. You got to find a community of like-minded believers, and that's when you unleash God's mercy. Amen, brother.
Say that last bit again about
God's unleashing mercy. God's mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what happens after you find a community and you just discipline yourself to continually repent.
Yeah.
And then you get further and further away from the sins that you're repenting from with the help of the people in your community, you know, with the discipline of doing it and the idea of it. But it all starts there. It all starts with recognizing it and just turning from it. But you have to know where to turn to. You can't turn to, like, you know, jump a Jehoshaphat down a block. You can't turn to, like, you know, you got to turn to the Word. You got to turn to the Bible. And if you think any other self-help manual in the book in the world is going to save you, listen, they're just watered down scripture, brother. Go right to the source. Yeah. You know, it's the meat and bones of how to, quote, be a good person.
Some people say, like, well, they're like, oh, I can't read it. I don't understand it. I'm like, did you really read it, though? Like, I remember there being, like, 20 years ago trying to read it and not being able to process it. I think the book comes to you, the book, when the book needs to come to
God's
you.
Time. You God's know? Time and that's is the other all thing about too, submitting, like, dude.
God's time, you know what I mean?
It's all, like, about submitting. Like, I want this cheeseburger right now.
Yeah.
But I'm in the middle of the woods. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine if we found a whole bunch of cheeseburgers in the bag right now.
Yeah, I got another little story. I was working with the Party Pro Rental Company again from Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, for all your live casino needs. And we were doing a casino at the Holy Ghost Immaculate School out in New Haven, the Northeast. And this little kid keeps betting on zero, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, God, I pray that if he lands on zero, I'll go out and preach on every corner of America and I'll become, and I'll just, and I look at him dead in the eyes. I'm like, listen, son, I didn't say that. Yeah. But I was like, hey, I'm like, you know, God does and doesn't work just like that, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, spin the ball. Boom, he hit zero, dude.
No way.
Goes berserk. I didn't even have enough chips to pay the guy. I had to give him the vouchers that people gave me to get chips.
Wow.
And he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm like, go out and go preach, man. I'm like, you already answered it. So he went out and he just distributed all the vouchers to, like, friends and family, you know?
Wow, dude, the statue's stained. Look at Teddy's headpiece.
What happened?
The rain must have, I don't know. I've never seen it look like that. It's got, like, a little... This is the apocalypse, okay? The moon's turning red.
What are you talking about?
The tip of his head's all black. His hat. Okay. It's never been that color.
Really?
Sun's been on it all day.
Maybe someone threw a firework on it.
Nah, that's some sort of ash, but...
Yo, are we near that little restaurant?
No, that's further down that way.
Dude, I'm starving. I don't think I'm going to make it home.
What a great way to end the podcast. Well, tune in next week to see if we ever make it back home, ladies
see
and gentlemen.
If he makes it.
This has been yet another episode of True Bobcast.
God bless you.